Order in the court.
Going to court is serious, and a lot of times it's probably going to be unpleasant. But not every part of going to court has to be. Maybe what happens in the courtroom will be stressful, but what about finding your way to the building, in the building, for example? Those don't have to be. The Massachusetts trial court system is working to make such experiences less stressful. It's called the user experience. There's a whole design field that focuses on it, and faculty and students at Bentley University do that work. They've teamed up with the Massachusetts Trial Court to try to improve that user experience. We sat down with John Lang, the Chief Experience and Diversity Officer for the Massachusetts Trial Courts, and Bill Gibbons, the Bentley University Professor of Information Design, who's working with the students. And I started when we sat down by asking Bill about the worst part of the user experience in court.
Identifying one is a difficult challenge. I think sometimes it begins when you walk through the door. I even speak from my own experience. As soon as I walk through that door and you confront security, kind of a chill goes down to your spine. And then anything beyond that adds to the anxiety. If you can't find where you need to go, if you fear that you're going to be late, if you're reading instructions or, you know, processes and you can't understand them, it adds to that anxiety. So I think it's a building process that starts from the moment you walk through the door.
And John, this question, forgive me, but what entitles people to have a positive user experience in a court?
Well, we should be treating everybody that walks through our doors with dignity and respect. And it doesn't matter what their circumstances, what someone might be accused of, what we know somebody has done. You know, we know that a person is not the totality of the circumstances that has brought them to our attention. And therefore, we should be treating everyone with dignity and respect.
And this is something you have wanted to work on?
Oh, this is definitely something that I've always wanted to work on. It came from my own personal experience that I had many years ago.
What was the personal experience, may I ask?
The personal experience was an elderly teenager that was acting up, not my biological child. We had to go and get supports within our community and was recommended to open up a voluntary case with the Department of Children and Families. And I thought myself and my family were treated like second-class citizens, and I had social capital, I had political capital, I had, you know, education and money, and I couldn't navigate the system. And I said, if I can't navigate these systems, who can?
Now, Bill, you're nodding a lot to that, and as I understand it, your own user experience also made you want to work on this. So what's your story?
So my story, this actually, I engaged with the court system serving on jury duty, and I actually had a wonderful experience there. So that's a positive story. And I actually wrote a note. It's very rare sometimes that you have positive experiences when you're dealing with, you know, governmental agencies. And when I do have one, I take the time to comment. And my note made its way up to the Chief Justice, and she reached out to me and asked me to get involved with this project that was ongoing at the courts at the time.
And how did you decide to turn it into basically a class with students working on this?
We do this all the time. We're very interested in social enterprise. So most of my students go to work for Amazon and Apple. But we're very firm believers at Bentley in the concept of design for good, that it's not just going to produce the next wonderful iPhone for Apple or the next product for Amazon, but that we can improve people's lives. You know, whether it be the court system, whether it be the healthcare system, whether it be the Department of Motor Vehicles, to design them in a way that's more accessible and more human-centered.
So what are some basic design principles, Bill, that are sort of universal when you're thinking about how a user of anything, whether it's technology or it is a physical experience in a building, et cetera, are there a handful that our listeners would sort of immediately understand that are kind of the X commandments of design?
And it depends on what design system we're looking at, whether we're looking at a process that's captured in a form or whether it be navigating a building and wayfinding. So mm-hmm. In the case of wayfinding, it's going to be a perceptual act. And then you're going to
have
perceptual in terms of seeing and hearing and feeling and touching.
Seeing, hearing, feeling, touching could be bad. It could be good.
It could be exactly.
So what's the design principle that is good seeing, hearing, feeling, touching means the person
So in the case of signage, for example, in the courthouse, one of the things that we discovered is there was inadequate contrast at times. People couldn't see the sign from a distance.
Super helpful.
It was designed for people to be right on top of it, you know, 18 inches away, and that's not the way you navigate a building.
So, John, over the years, anecdotally, I've heard all kinds of stories about the degradations and anxiety of experiencing a court, whether it's having to sit somewhere where you are across from an adversary who scares you and maybe you're waiting a long time. You get lost in a building. I mean, I'm getting anxious just thinking about it, right? You get lost in a building. You can't find your way to a room you need to be in. We hear these stories all the time. I missed my hearing because I was in the wrong room and I didn't understand. Maybe you don't speak the language and the signage, like Bill was just talking about, doesn't tell you anything. And this could conceivably be one of the worst days of your life.
Absolutely.
Anyway. So what should the user experience be?
I think the user experience should be one that someone comes to the court regardless of the circumstance that brings them there and allows them to either navigate the building on their own through signage, through the comprehension of the legal proceeding, the letters that they received that show them notice to appear. We actually did a study on emotions that people feel in high anxiety situations. And so everybody's not comprehending every way that you and I would in an unstressed, uncrisised way.
So meaning I literally can't process what's happening to me in the same way if I'm having a stressful user experience?
You can't process it because you're having a stressful
experience, period.
And what we've been working on is trying to understand that in such a way so that we could mitigate some of those concerns, fears, anxieties when people are coming through the door. So one of the suggestions is there should be a greeter. You know, the first time Professor Gribbins and I started to work together, we met at one of our courthouses, and I just happened to sit and wait for him at the information table. Normally, it's an unpersoned information table. I had about 20 people show up and ask me, could you please tell me where I go?
How long were you waiting?
20 minutes. Yep.
So like a person a minute.
A person a minute came. And at the end of it, when he showed up, I said, I just had this experience, you know, of navigating 20 people through where they needed to go, some of which weren't even in the right place. Obviously, they're going through something in the moment that they can't navigate. And the more that there is this personal connection, either through a security officer at the front door or a court employee that could be there, or volunteers, people who have retired from the court who know the system and can come back and say, let me help you navigate this situation.
So, Bill, in 4 or 5 steps, what's the basic process here that you work through with the students to create this change?
So first is to identify the problems. So to engage in the research, and there's various research methodologies we use. We did a lot of shadowing where we spent 2 hours with people who were navigating the courthouse and observing them and then chatting with them about, you know, the challenges they were facing, what they were experiencing emotionally, what was confusing them, what was worrying them. And then we analyze that data, and then we come up with recommendations, and then we share those recommendations with John.
And then how do they come into the world and exist, right? So we get recommendations all the time that sit on a shelf.
What happens is after the class is over, we schedule a presentation by all the students, including the professor, to our senior team. And we all get to hear the message and ask questions about their research understanding and best practices, because they don't just research our court. When they go through this process, they do real research. They go across the country and see what other people are doing and saying that here's what best practices look like. An example is on our website. We got many recommendations around how difficult our website was to navigate. So we wanted to make sure that if there was relevant information in the moment, that's the first thing that people see when they go to our website. If there's a form that they need, we wanted to make sure it was in a format that they could actually print it.
And Bill, how does it feel to know that work is echoing beyond the Massachusetts Trial Court?
it makes you feel wonderful. And I think that's it. I don't think we can fault the folks at mass.gov because they're operating in a vacuum. They're operating under the constraints they were presented with. But what we're doing is we're giving them actionable data that's coming from real studies that were done very carefully. And it makes you feel really good. And I think this is why we've had a long relationship, yeah, is they're actually putting our research into action.
John, in a sentence, is this about changing what we think people deserve?
We've always known that people deserved it. We've not taken the opportunities to speak to them directly to understand what would be the best thing that worked for them.
And that is John Lang, Chief Experience and Diversity Officer with the Massachusetts Trial Court, alongside Bill Gribbins, Professor of Information Design and Corporate Communications at Bentley University. Thanks to both of you for joining us.
Thank you.
So let's turn now to another voice to reflect on what we just heard. Judge Jay Blitzman is a retired justice of the Massachusetts Juvenile Court and has given thought to the juvenile user experience. He's also an adjunct professor at Boston College Law School. Judge, welcome.
Well, thank you. This has been an extremely interesting and important conversation.
So let me get your initial reactions to what you heard, Your Honor.
Well, what resonates for me is the phrase access to justice. And if we want to make this concept more than a bromide, more than a cliche, we do have to implement concrete action steps. Otherwise, it's, again, just a bromide. And this includes not only litigants, this includes witnesses, members of the public who want to observe court proceedings or have business to do in the courthouse. Their experience has to be attended to. From a judicial point of view, I worked for 20 years as a public defender trying cases. I worked for 24, as you indicated, as a juvenile court judge. And during that context, I heard both termination of parental rights cases, cases involving youthful offenders and delinquency cases, which could entail sentencing to state prisons. Other issues are implicated as regards the need to improve the user experience. That includes access to technology, the addressing the internet divide, making sure that people who have hearings that are conducted remotely are attended to.
So Judge Blitzman, does what happens in the user experience leading up to the courtroom affect the outcome in the courtroom?
I believe so, dramatically. So if somebody walks into a courtroom or zooms in on a hearing and is apprehensive, has anxiety, it's obviously going to compromise not only the reality of their experience, but it's also going to make the fact-finding more difficult, and it will have an adverse effect on equity in a more global sense.
So to be clear, a better user experience, one that is more respectful and dignified and helpful to the person entering the courtroom, can at least, if not does, lead to better justice?
Oh, clearly. You know, I think of a recent appeals court case in which a termination of parental rights determination in a juvenile court was reversed, in part because of frustration involving the inability for one of the parties, in this case, a party who is proceeding pro se, that means without a lawyer, to be heard. Her internet wasn't working. The court tried to attempt to contact her via phone. The hearing proceeding, ultimately the case was reversed because notwithstanding good intent, issues such as the internet divide, the quality of technology, and the inadequacy of the phone, it was unclear what portions of the hearing this mother heard or did not hear, was limited. So that's a very frustrating process. And termination of parental rights, which is a determination which many commentators have equated to the equivalent of a civil death penalty,
meaning losing your custody of your kids.
Yeah, it's rather consequential.
So last question for you. Either what is the best change you've seen so far, Judge Blitzman, or the one you most want to see?
Well, I want to see technology improve dramatically. And I know that Bentley is working on this as well. And that includes access to interpreters in real time. That includes improving the quality of internet and Zoom hearings. In the criminal context, litigants, people accused of crimes, have a right to what we call face-to-face confrontation. But what does that mean in this virtual world? How can we ensure that clients and attorneys are actually communicating with each other in real time? So we have technology that is improving that process. We've got to do better, and hopefully working with Bentley, we will do better.
That was Judge Jay Blitzman of the Massachusetts Juvenile Court reflecting on work applying the principles of design to the Massachusetts Trial Court.